This is December 15th, 1991, and the next meeting will be on January 19th, 1992, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well then, my friends, good morning. I'm pleased to see you. Since this is the day that we usually reserve for a clarification and a becoming excited about one of the great spiritual teachers of history, I'd like to try to lead into a vaster sense of what the Christ is and how best for you to access that. And in order to do that, I'd like to begin by having a reading by a book called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. The two names first mentioned are two scientists. John and Dunn are not so timid. They believe that instead of discovering particles, physicists may actually be creating them. As evidence, they cite a recently discovered subatomic particle called an anomalon, whose properties vary from laboratory to laboratory. Imagine owning a car that has a different color and different features depending on who drove it. This is very curious and seems to suggest that an anomalon's reality depends on who finds or creates it. Similar evidence may also be found in another subatomic particle. In the 1930s, Pauli proposed the evidence of a massless particle called a neutrino to solve an outstanding problem concerning radioactivity. For years, the neutrino was only an idea. But then, in 1957, physicists discovered evidence of its existence. In more recent years, however, physicists have realized that if the neutrino possessed some mass, it would solve several even thornier problems than the one had faced Pauli. And lo and behold, in 1980, evidence started to come in that indeed the neutrino had a small but measurable mass. This is not all. As it turned out, only laboratories in the Soviet Union discovered neutrinos with mass. Laboratories in the United States did not. This remained true for the better part of the 1980s. Is it possible that the different properties displayed by neutrinos are due at least in part to the changing expectations and different cultural biases of the physicists who searched for them? Now, what does this have to do with Christ? You see, you already know. All right. Let us begin by remembering the realities that we have been sharing all these years. We have tried to give you as much encouragement as we can to tell you that what you gaze upon when your energy is going along a certain direction, that you are very much more likely to have that reality come flooding into you as a state of consciousness, not just a hope, but a real happening. Now, if a physicist can decide inside of himself or herself, you know, in order to solve the problem of my physical scientific problems here, I need a subatomic particle, and so he or she says, all right then, since I need this, I'm just going to start looking everywhere for it. I'm going to look here, I'm going to look there, I'm going to look everywhere. And the more I can get others to look with me, don't forget, these are joint efforts. So there's all these laboratories banding together and everybody's looking, and all of a sudden they find it. Now, if this can be done, are we having difficulty, Ms. Brown? If this can be done in subatomic particles, for people who are looking for things that they're not even clearly sure what it is they're looking for, and yet they stumble upon it, and then they get other people to hallucinate the same happening, if that's what you want to talk about it, to get everybody enjoying it, and all of a sudden the whole world is believing, and so on. Now, look, this is a very, very small thing, this subatomic particle, and what I'm trying to tell you is that energy that is the Christ is immense. Now, which do you think you have a better chance of finding? But I will tell you, you have much greater belief, perhaps, in a part of you that I would call your doubt mass, that says that you would have more luck finding a neutrino, isn't that a marvelous name, whatever that would be, than it would be for finding this vast, amazing energy field that just sweeps across consciousness. It is immense. It is vast. Now, I've told you before, the excitement of all of this, and please try to feel what we're trying to say in a very clear way today. If you have a desire to discover a state of energy, a state of clarity, a state of love, whatever this might be, if you have it within your being and you really want to begin to experience it, can you get the essence here that the very fact that you are searching for it creates it? May I say that again? The very searching for it creates it. We have been trying to shift your model of the universe for quite a while. Remember, I kept saying, please stop being a seeker. Because a seeker, by definition, is not a finder. You cannot be a seeker and a finder at the same time unless you have a double personality. But you cannot participate in the finding if you are defining yourself as a seeker. Now, what does a seeker do in Christ consciousness? All right? A seeker sits here and says, now look, I want this Christ awareness to flood my consciousness. But, you see, I realize that I have done all these bad things, not only in this life, but now that you've gotten very wise, you know about past lives. Oh, now, well, I have all my past lives. And then you flood your awareness with not only past, but present imperfections. And then, of course, you remember the things that you say and do every day of your life. And you remember how unloving you are and how uncaring and so on and so on. Now, you are a seeker in a mode that is saying, I want to somehow reach a place where I can find that energy field of the Christ. Now, that is one statement. And I would like for you to go inside yourself and find out how many of you at this moment have that as your model. That there is something out there that is separate from you, and somehow you have to go across the bridge. You have to go from here to there, and you have to find it. Now, that is not what these physicists are saying. And that is not what any deeply awakened spiritual one will tell you. What the awakened spiritual one says is, remember this, you are it. You are that. Remember, you have never been separate from it. It is what you are. It is not something you have to go and find. It is something that you have to begin to participate with. It's something that you have to simply relax into. Remember all of the workshops, all that we do. You know, we go to these beautiful places. We sit in Taos in the snow, and it's wondrous, and it's quiet, and it's deep. And what are we doing? We are trying to get all of the cellular structures of everyone seated in that room to relax into such a space that they will allow themselves to relax into the energy that is totally, completely, and always present. When two or more are gathered together, you have a great deal more opportunity to deepen the deepening. Now, the enlightened one in consciousness tells you again and again, you do not have to find something. You do not have to purify to become something. You simply have to focus upon it. And in the focusing, and this is what I want you to hear deeply, in the focusing, you are in the act of creating exactly what you are seeking. It is not a separation. The focus is the finding. Do you understand the intensity of what we're trying to say? The focusing is the finding. All right, so let us say that your dilemma is money. I know that has nothing to do with anyone in this room at this time. I'm sure you all have more than a button, but be patient. We'll just simply. So now, as you sit here as a seeker of money, there is this idea in your mind that there is a vast energy field somewhere out there, and other people have it, and you know that it's possible, but so on. But here you are, and you want it. So you're trying to make your way into the energy field of money. You're trying to somehow enter into it. And so you go through a lot of contrivance, how to do it, and that's when you get all the mantras, and you put them in your bathroom window and in the kitchen and in your car and so on. And of course, within 2 days, you no longer see them. But the idea being that if you just keep on looking hard enough, saying the words strongly enough, that somehow you're going to run into this vast energy field called money. Now, my friends, with a outlook like that, I would like to suggest that it might be a little bit difficult, because what if you're looking over here and the energy field of money is over here? I mean, you know, it could be most anything like this when that is the model. But if you change the model in your awareness, which is what we're asking you to do from this moment onward, if you change the model of how you approach anything that you desire, anything at all, then you see instantly that you have exchanged a future point of receiving to a present point of creating, and that is a vast difference. In this moment, you are just as these scientists were creating what they were seeking in the force fields. You are creating what you seek in the action of your motion with this intensity. Now, I want you to think about this deeply. Do you remember, for years, we have told you that the marvelous field of Christ awareness has been building and strengthening and growing and changing, deepening, remember? For years, we've said, it isn't the same strand that began with the Christ when he walked this earth plane. It is something much more magnificent, much more abundant. How did it get that way? Obviously. You created, all of you, in all of the lifetimes. And you know, most of you have sought in various channels of consciousness. And I think it very likely that most of you have had great, great expansion as you deepened your own understanding and in the same time deepened this strand of consciousness that we call the Christ awareness. Do you understand that you are creating the deepening, the deep awareness of Christ consciousness every time you put your awareness upon it? You are a co-creator with everyone else who is at all interested in that line of awareness. And as you put your intensity into it, you add, it becomes a part of you. It goes out and becomes a part of the createdness. It becomes much stronger and much more acceptable and accessible to other people. It is a creative, dynamic universe that is held together with the wonderful stuff of God, which is another way of saying total potentiality. Remember our definition. There are many definitions. One definition of God: total potentiality. What brings that into, out of the realm of the hidden and into the realm of the created? Your attention, your awareness, your motion toward it, your delight and yearning, your all of that wondrous combination of you as each individual and cumulative consciousness move. I want to tell you something, my friends. If on this planet, in this one day, if the majority of the human consciousness would turn their awareness toward creating in a moment peace, do you realize what this planet would have? Which brings us to something that I've been asked to speak on, which is called the 1111. Now, that is a creative moment. And if those kinds of moments, you see, it doesn't matter. You see, someone sat in meditation and said, 11:11, what a wonderful day. It's a great opening. It's wonderful. And she got up and she told someone else and they said, sounds wonderful, let's do it. And they said, that sounds wonderful. So they got a hold of their mailing list and they sent out thousands and thousands and they did books and so on. And do you know what's happening? On 11:11, if enough of those people who have pledged to do so, you will exactly create what one person sat in meditation and said, what a great idea. How do you think all of this Bartholomew business started? Mary Margaret sits down and says, listen, I'm tired of having teachers that make me crazy. I want one that doesn't make me crazy. I want to be able to understand, and I want to get it, and I want it now because I'm going crazy. This is not working. And no blame for the past teachers, but that's the way it was for her. And so what happens? In a creative, meditative moment, this happens. And then other people say, oh, sounds like a wonderful game. I'd like that. So they start. And each one of you from the very beginning, when they sat with the first four, and then the next 15, and then in Socorro, and then in Albuquerque, and everybody said, oh, that's great. And each time you come, you actually create this experience that you are calling something that isn't part of you. You see, it's just part of Mary Margaret, or it's something, or it's I don't know what, and so on. Well, when you begin to understand, which I hope from this day on you take very seriously, every time you participate in any kind of an action such as this, you not only add to the power of it, but you also add to the clarity of it. Because to the degree that you put your clarity into it, it joins the motion of it and it becomes yours. This is not something outside of you. This isn't something that Mary Margaret sits and does. This isn't something that is exclusive in any way. I've told you, it's called the brother because you are sister and brother to the whole activity. And you are changing it and deepening it and expanding it to such an extent that you are going to no longer need it. And why are you no longer going to need it? Because I've told you and I ask you to hear deeply. You are the creators of your consciousness. And when you realize that you have created a teaching that is going to leave in the way that you have expected it, you have also created inside of you a very vast space of knowing. Because when you hear and you recognize, it becomes your knowing. It is your knowing. It is no longer exclusively anybody's. It is yours. So this is why I have begged you, never say, Bartholomew says. If you say it, that is good enough. You don't have to say, Bartholomew says. If you feel the truth to such an extent that you want to identify yourself with it, then do so and don't give credits at the bottom of the page. Just do it. Now, what is hopeful is that you will all begin to understand that just as you have created this Bartholomew business, you have also jointly created an incredibly strong energy field. And as you all go in different directions, which you will, what you're going to do is so marvelous, if you'll stop a moment to think. You will go in different roadways. Some of you will find ways of your own. Others of you will join more traditional ways. Some of you will fall back into what I would call very traditional motions, and that's fine, absolutely. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter, because what you're going to do is to take the you that has been transformed by your transforming of all of this activity, and so you become brand new. And as you move into other strands of approaches, you take the newness of you, and what do? Do you see the wonder? You take that newness into whatever you approach. You mingle with that. You change what it is that you are entering into. You broaden it. You deepen it. You take the best of who you are and what you've learned, and you channel it into deeper excitement. It is a very exciting thing to realize that all of consciousness on most of this planet, I please cannot say all, most of this planet is in an eruption of accumulating energy fields that go back and forth into each other. People say to me, what do I think of angels? What do you mean, what do I think of angels? Angels are magnificent. Should you spend time dwelling on angels? If you love angels, if you are at all interested, absolutely. And as you approach, please understand, everything is in flux. Everything is changing. As you approach the angelic kingdom, those of you that are working with the goddesses, I've told you again and again, it isn't that you go into the past goddess energy and try to understand it. That is dead information. What you do is you bring that energy to you. You are yourself merging with it, finding new ways, finding new excitement, finding new meaning, finding new symbol. It is a creative, dynamic process. It is exciting. And all of the things that you do in all realms of your life are deeply affected by the simplicity of what you do in your spiritual approach. I want to tell you, it has a lot to do with how your computer works. Don't forget that as you sit in front of your computer, you are a vast energy field that is totally moving back and forth with the energy of that computer. And I want you, I say this because there are several people in this room that are having difficulty with computers. And I think what is most necessary here is to get a deep sense inside of yourself of the total relationship of you creating with that computer some kind of a sweet, harmonious energy field of power that exists between you. Everything that you see and work with and dwell upon, you are creating within it, and it is creating within you. Do those computers create within you? Oh, yes. And please don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid. It's a magnificent, wondrous reflection. The computer world is a marvelous reflection of an amazing world of consciousness. Please, all honor to it. It is saving so much that could be so difficult for this planet. And as you begin to understand that as you simply begin to dwell on the light, let us say, in that moment you are absolutely creating the light. It isn't, again, let's go back, it isn't that you are waiting for it to burst in upon you. And if that is your mental diagram, then you're going to have to wait. Because there's also inside of you a diagram that says, I know the light's there, I want the light, but I know I can't have it, I'm not sitting in the right position, I don't have on the right clothes, I eat the wrong food, I drink the wrong things, I'm not, whatever, because then your great rules come out. Now, when you stop and shift your awareness to the point that we're asking you, that says, as you turn your awareness to it, in that instant you are the creator of it, then you will begin to look for what you are creating. You know, you are not so silly as to say, I'm creating a pie, and then wonder if you can see the pie. You create it. You know it's going to be there. You are absolutely sure of it. But when it comes to the realm of the unseen, you begin to get a little more difficult. All right, now, let's go on. I hope that's clearly in place, because it's one of the most important things that we will say for the next few years. All right? We will come back to it in various forms. But I want again to address, whenever you feel a lack in whatever area of your life, it is the feeling of that lack that brings you awake. That awakens, all right? So pay attention, stay awake. What do you want? What's missing? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Be aware of your fears. All right, now, the minute that you have this awareness, I'm afraid of what? Poverty. I'm afraid of loss. I'm afraid of losing my love. I'm afraid of being loveless. I'm afraid of whatever. And be honest. Be honest. The fear is the first friend that comes. Now, as you begin to understand that there is a way to approach that fear, then you will begin to get excited by saying, as many moments of my day as I walk around feeling and being excited by the feeling of what it would be like to have abundance, to really be excited about visualizing the sense of abundance, feeling, this is old story, we've said it so often, the feeling inside of you as you walk, instead of, I don't have it, I don't have it, I don't have it, walking around, feeling it, allowing yourself, you feel you don't have love? I've told you this. Walk around generating it. Just becoming aware. But please, my friends, with the knowing that the moment that you turn your awareness to it, you are creating it. And so, please, be aware enough to stay conscious enough to allow yourself to begin to experience it. It is that last step that the finder takes that the seeker does not. The seeker wanders around all over the world looking. The finder sits down and says, like Buddha, remember, we're back to Buddha. Buddha sits down and says, I'm going to die, but I'm not moving until I know. I don't care what has to happen. This is my line. I'm not looking anymore. So in that moment, he becomes the finder. And in that moment, the flood of consciousness comes in. He sees, he knows. And he walks around for the next years of his life telling people the simplicity that is all it. Everything is the Buddha. There is nothing outside of the Buddha. That you are it, it is you. That everything you say or do or think or become is all the same. That is all one vast, amazing wholeness. And as far as vastness goes out there and inside, it's all one. And you are connected without any separation for any vast part of the one. And this is what we're asking you today to understand. To help yourself by building sweetly and powerfully in you from this moment on the knowing that when you turn your focus to whatever it is, you are creating exactly what you are focusing upon. Again, we go back. If these scientists, if these physicists can find in all of the incredible vast areas of consciousness, these tiny little things running around, you know? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? And if they can do that, is it not within you to know that you can, without question, begin to build and deepen your response to all of the great energy fields that have been flooding this universe ever since mankind moved out of separation and moved in to knowing of the oneness. All that you have to remember, my friends, is that in this moment, this is it. There is never a better moment. There is never a deeper moment. There is never a holier moment. It is now. And as your awareness begins to drift toward those energy fields, you are not only moving into them, but you are adding unto them. You are creating amazing power and wonder and beauty. In a sense, you could say, you know, people say, well, what's God? Well, I'd like to answer that in various ways, because God is many different things. Wherever your energy field enters, wherever your perception enters, there is always a reality of God consciousness for you. Example, if you have a very deep desire to have a very personal God, a God that is personally involved with you, who has an intimacy of guiding you every moment, who has a way of flooding your consciousness and knowing of its presence, if that is what you yearn for, then that is exactly what you will create out of the incredible, eternal potentiality of God's substance. Another way of saying this is you can create your own comfort around God consciousness. Now, there are some of you that are not interested in that. There are some of you that feel that the presence of the divine is experienced by total clarity of mind. I don't mean in the mental framework, but knowing, with a deep knowing, knowing the connectedness of all things, knowing that all is one, knowing all of that. And if that is where you enter this magnificent potentiality, then as you put your awareness toward that, you begin to create with this incredible substance of God consciousness precisely what it is that your heart needs and your clarity needs. I'm trying to tell you, as we've told you forever, God wants for you what you want. God is not something that is absolutely one thing to all people. The incredibleness of God awareness, of this incredible potentiality, is that it is so fluid, it is so flexible, it is so all things, that you can use the mass of it, the power of it, to help you ease your pain, to ease your confusion, to move your life. Do you understand, my friends? This is the greatest gift of all. This is the friend that says, "What kind of a friend do you need? That I will be for you. What kind? I will be that for you." Because you see, and this is why it is so useless to fight about whose God is right, about whose approach is right. What is the right approach? The approach is the approach of your heart. And when you understand this for yourself, then you begin to give it to all others. All arguments over which God is strongest, which approach to consciousness is the right one, is all totally irrelevant. It has no foundation in God truth. Because as you begin to understand what it is that you are doing each moment, you will begin to fall into the most incredible gratitude of your life, which means that you do not have to create a desire other than the one that you have. You don't have to create a path other than the one that you're on. You don't have to create a person other than who you are. You are all you need to be, however you are. However you are, and your approach will be as powerful, as direct, as meaningful, and as abundantly useful and enlightening as any other approach. And it is that familiarity of your own approach that brings the rambunctious coming of the God light. Now, what do I mean? I mean that it is your sweet and delightful responsibility, and I put that in quotes because it is not a responsibility so much as a delight, to begin to find out what is your own individual desire. How do you want this God infinite source to manifest in your life? What do you want it to feel like, taste like, look like, sound like, be like? What is your desire? What is your deepness? What is your yearning? And when you begin to know that, when you begin to still yourself and put away other ideas and to get into the excitement of what excites you, then you begin to know that if you just follow your own way with the integrity of your own life, that you will begin to interface and abundantly take up and begin the creation of precisely what it is that you want. God has no favorites. I mean, God has no favorites. There is no approach to God that is favored over any other. Whatever is the way of your heart, whatever is the way of your consciousness, that is your way. And will people be upset by this kind of statement? Absolutely. Because there is a part of people who want to have rules to follow. And if you have rules to follow, then you can get to the goal. Now, I am assuming that most of you in here have followed paths with rules to follow and have done your best and have somehow not reached the goal. And I simply say that what we are trying to open up for you is the excitement, the delight of recognizing that this marvelous vastness of the whole of consciousness is always there for you to simply put your awareness on and in so doing create exactly what it is that you are putting your attention upon. Is that too simple? go back over our words all these years, and what have we said? We have said, please, as many moments of the day, in whatever way you can, let your awareness drift to what it is that you really want. Not the lack of it, not the I don't have it, but the part of you inside that is able to create visual images or physical sensations or thoughts in the mind of the delightful dance of reality for whatever it is you're focusing and want. And the more moments that you do that, the more of this stuff of awareness you're using to create that which is your heart's desire. To sit and wait for it to fall from the sky because you are doing something right is a difficult model. Because the problem is, inside of yourselves, you will never believe that you are doing it right. There is always that part. Well, I've done all of this, I've done all of this, but then there's all of that, you know? Well, I've done 98%, but then there's all of that, you see? And if you've paid attention to consciousness, you will find that, for example, if you get up at 3 in the morning, do you find yourself dwelling on all the beauty and wonder in the world and in your life and all the things that you have? Or do you perhaps find yourself drifting toward those little areas over here that don't feel quite so comfortable, that have perhaps a pain around them, that have some guilt perhaps, or some sorrow, or some anxiety? So unless you excite yourself, you're not going to get anything that you want. I've said this before, and I know it's outrageous. To excite yourself about getting something that you want. Because, you see, a lot of people would rather punish themselves and hope that in their punishment, they are so sincerely punished that God will say, I feel so sorry for you. Here it is. Will you just quit blubbering? Here. Take it. Take it. Take it. Now, is that one approach? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it works. And it works. My friends, I know it works. You know it works. Everybody knows it works. All which, because you see, when you focus, look at what you're doing. When you focus on that problem, you have your mind riveted to it. You see, it fills your life. You know, your life can be 99% fine. If there's 1% off, you know, it just fills your mind. It's like a prison, you know, and all life is going on. The sky is beautiful. The weather's magnificent. People love you, and you're just walking around like this. I mean, it need not be there because you're in this prison of this one thing, whatever it is. It encapsulates. It takes over. It blinds. It deadens. It suffocates. It produces living death. And what is the way out? The way out, my friends, unless you one absolute approach, keep on going down that path. And you know how that works, go ahead and do it. All we're trying to point out is, at the moment when the 1% or the 10% is a mess, we ask you please to begin to get excited about, which you can do, get excited about how it would be to feel, create, imagine, and realize in your life whatever this other thing is that you so much really want, that is your answer to your dilemma. Now, it is so simple. But it is exactly like the scientist who says, you know, I have this problem. Remember that wonderful story about the man who thought up the black holes. Remember this? He did this mathematical equation. He said, you know, the answer to this problem of the universe, because we've got too much energy, there's too much here, what we really need is a black hole, and then the energy could go out that black hole, and then the universe would be in balance and everything would be fine. And so they began to create, and now you all know there are black holes. And what do these black holes do? Well, the energy goes out of them, another thing come in them, so on, so on, so on, so on. I mean, you know, all right. Now, I ask you to see your correlation with your dilemma, all right? Your life is not in balance. Your life has disharmony. There are places in it that you need to rectify the balance, all right? Now, You don't need to worry about creating black holes because, you know, somebody else has done that. But what you very much need to do is to look at the wholeness of your landscape. This is your universe, your internal, your external universe. And you have to go in there with excitement as a journeyer. All right? And you go in and you start looking around and you ask yourself, what would bring balance? What would bring harmony? And you know precisely what would. And it's different for everyone. Some of you have tremendous love, but you have very little self-assurance. Some of you have great self-assurance, but perhaps you lack money. Whatever it is, you know, it's just a matter of where does your disharmony lie? And as in most cases, you will find it's more than one area. Don't dismay. That's the human condition. That's the way things are. But to go into the your own internal, external universe with the excitement of finding out where the imbalance is, and then have that wonderful, wonderful creation of the mental and the visual and the emotional creating of that lack. And my friends, you will begin to see it. It will begin to come on the visual screen of your consciousness. You will begin to see it outside, as a scientist did, and inside. Now, another interesting thing they found out about sight. They find out that your visual take on things is 50% the eye mechanism, but then there's this funny other sort of 50% which goes through mind. And the result is seeing. Now, let's go back over this again. Over 50% or some around 50% of your sight, of what you see, is strictly a visual take. What's out there, what's your eyes, the formation, so on, so on, so on. But then there's this other sort of 50% that goes through this thing that they're having trouble defining. You see, they used to say it goes through the brain. Well, now they know that it doesn't go through the brain. You know, memory is not in the brain like they thought it was in the brain. You know, they used to think there was a little place, oh, that's the memory place. Well, they do all these experiments. They flip the brain this way and that way and this so on, and these poor rats keep remembering. It's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. They're not confused. They still know. They remember how to eat. They remember where to go to get the food. It's a terrible mistake. So now what have they come up with? This wonderful idea, which is very old to all of you, which is that the brain is not, that's not what's happening. What is excitement is that there is an energy field that permeates and surrounds and is around and about that area, which is called the mind, the brain, and so on. And this wonderful interrelation, something happens and then thoughts happen and so on. So now they're finding, and please, this is important for your understanding of this, they're finding that it is not just what you see with your eyes, but some mixture of percentage of consciousness that blends with what you see that results in how you see your world. This accounts for why you can all look at the same thing and see something totally different. You can feel it differently. You can experience it differently. You can truly, without even any past reference to it, you just have a different take on it. My friends, you are not looking at the same universe. You are not looking at the same relationship. You are not looking at the same relationship that the other person is looking at. You are not. Your children and yourselves, your lovers, your parents, I don't care who, you are not looking at the same thing. And you are not going to respond in the same way. And I'm saying it's not necessary. Now, why is it not necessary? You're here having your experience of this relationship. Someone else is here having their experience. And they're not the same. They're just not. So then how do you come to that place of oneness? How do you make that joining? You all know, let's just remember. Please remember. We have told you since the beginning, where you join with the rest of mankind and the world, the createdness, the universe, all of the universes, whatever is outside the universal field, how you join is not with your brain. You join with this immense energy field of total God potentiality that permeates every single particle of awareness, no matter where that awareness, no matter what shape or form or size or weight of that awareness, there is one vast field that unites the entirety of it. And it is that united field that you all participate in. And at any moment that you wish to really participate fully in understanding and joining with another's universe, you have the energy field to do it. All that is lacking is the willingness that says, I will step out of my separated point of view. Please let me see the vastness. To some of you, it's saying, let me see the light in them. Let me see the light in other. We've told you, if you just wander around your universe, willing and excited and anticipating to see the light, do you understand why the 50% visual field is so exciting? Because you will actually begin to see it in your life. It will show up as money. Isn't that nice? It will show up as money. It will show up as love. It will show up as not just neutrinos, you see. It will show up as whatever you are looking for. Now, unfortunately, it works the other way. Because if what you're looking for, oh, it's always like this, it's never going to change, I know how this works, blah, blah, that's what you're going to see. And that's where that pattern works for you. I never get what I want, other people have everything, whatever, you know, what, all of that. Now, when those are running you on, again, I know you all know this, it's just a repeat. And when you begin to realize that all of that spontaneous running of the mind goes on and on and on and is then creating the visual field, you'll understand. I ask you to think deeply these next few weeks about what we have said. That your visual field itself is an incredible help. Those of you that don't have eyes, you have other openings such as hearing and so on. Whatever is available for you is sufficient. It doesn't have to be just your eyes. It can be hearing. Remember, it's the seeing and the hearing. It's wondrous. And just the being. For those that have neither, it's just being. Whoever you are, whatever your state of condition, this field is available in absolute fullness for you, whatever the condition you're in. But to understand, please, that when you begin to change the mind stuff through which your vision passes, you begin to change what you see. Do you hear that? You actually begin to change what you are looking at. You begin to see outside what you're yearning for. It just begins to show up in the most amazing places. Because as you begin to understand the magnificent mechanism of all this, you begin to realize that every moment of your life, this totally connected field of consciousness is pulsating through all the layers of your being. And it carries the same knowing in every particle. There is no different knowing for the 5 million mile tall being than is available to you in your cellular component as you sit in this room today. Please understand, God has no favorites. And whatever is this essence of God's self, of Godness, of God One, is absolutely the same in the cells of your body as they are in any of those vast createdness in the angelic field and beyond it. It's all the same. It's all the same. Your awareness and awakening to it is the only thing that needs to happen. And remember, we told you years ago that this is a creative, dynamic game, wondrous, creative game that you're playing here. A game in the best sense of the word. That is meant to be fun, It's meant to join you. It's meant to be expansive. And you're part of this awakening. As you take your awareness into these places where your desires lie and begin to excite yourself about the knowing, as I desire it and look on it and want it, so am I creating it, then you begin to change what you see and what you feel and what you experience. And then you know. At this time of the year, because so many people in their own way are focusing on the power of the Christ, that energy field is sweetly, deeply, and strongly available. So if it is your heart's desire to participate fully in that light, then I ask you to spend the next days in whatever it is that you are doing, in remembrance, just in remembrance of what it is that you want, of what it is that you're seeking, of how that feels to you, of how that seems to you. Dwell upon it. And in so dwelling upon it, you will enliven it for you. And most magically, you will bring more life to the wholeness of it. You are the creators with God consciousness of consciousness. You are creators of consciousness. What you create is up to you. But at this time, when it moves so close to the earth, because of the remembrance in so many minds, the gift is yours. And so, on behalf of those that sent me, a blessed, really, truly blessed days and weeks for you. And please remember the simplicity of what we have said. Be a co-creator in the deepest, most magnificent sense of that. Because, my friends, it is through your creations, such as in the next few weeks, that there is hope for this planet of yours. It matters. It matters. What you create matters. It goes out and affects matter. It affects the minds and hearts of billions of people. It matters. It matters. So, thank you all for coming. And before I close, I would like to ask anyone who is interested, Dr. Aiken would appreciate some correspondence from some of you who have loved him and cared for him. I think it would lighten his life tremendously. So if any of you have that love and that care, that gratitude, now would be a time. And then let's not forget January, February, March, April. Or maybe not, because, you know, at any time this great man could say, well, enough. But I would ask that those of you who carry that love in your heart, let's let him know.